This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
Yes, it is that time of the week again. It's World Wide Wave. You're on Joy 94.9. Thanks to the team from Generation Next for giving us such a great show.
Happy midsummer to you, Matt.
And happy midsummer to you, too. The city is alive.
The city is alive. Did you make it out to the festivities yesterday?
I absolutely did. I was out there with bells on.
Multiple trouncing, bells?
Trouncing around Carnival Day.
Excellent. And did you make it to the late festivities at the dance?
I did not.
Oh, I'm here to report it was a great event. Once again, they put on a great dance last night. But there's still lots going on for the midsummer. It's going on for the next couple of weeks. So hopefully everyone's going to get out there and get involved somehow and check it all out.
That's right. There's far too much to do and see. But in the meantime, we're off to Israel.
We are. We are going to take a little stopover in Israel this evening.
There's some really interesting things happening there on the push for same-sex marriage. Israel is very much sort of a beacon in the Middle East. There's also the flip side of that, the role that religion's playing in daily life and in gay rights issues and in the upcoming elections.
Correct. They are currently in the midst of pre-elections, so that's a definite hot spot, and we'll learn more about that coming up in this hour.
So, yes, we're speaking later with Ofer Danziger from AGUDA, the National Association of LGBT Rights in Israel. That's coming up. But perhaps we'll start with some Israeli music to get
us
underway.
Do you have some Israeli music for us this evening?
I most certainly do. In fact, this is an artist by the name of, I'll give it a go, Yihon Nathan.
Yihon Nathan. Okay.
Who is a gay Israeli singer, originally from Herzliya. And he made his first gay music video in Israel. And he is well known on the gay circuit in Israel. This is his song called My Turn on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is the World Wide Wave. Who was that again?
That was Yihon Nathan, and that was his turn.
And apparently you thought he was rather cute. Is that why you actually downloaded the music?
No, his photo just came up on the iPhone.
Ah, all right, okay.
One can
but the music was good at any rate.
That's right, it was very good.
That's right. This week we are in Israel, and it is time for fun, fast facts. Israel, in the Middle East, as you might know, they are primarily founded by the Jewish state. Some interesting things about Israel is that since 1993, gay soldiers have been allowed to openly serve. Not just serve, but openly serve. There was actually a very famous movie we were talking about before we got on air. What were you saying about
that's
that
right,
movie?
It's called Yossi and Jaeger, and it dealt with two guys in the army and the relationship that developed in that. And, in fact, the sequel that's coming up to be released this year's, well, I'm tipping anyway, to be released at this year's Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which is called Yossi. And it takes a different take. It's sort of the same or similar story 10 or 15 years on, where one of the actors can't quite deal with the past and the keeping his sexuality inside, while the new age, the new generation of army people are quite open and out there.
Interesting. We'll be looking forward to that. Also in Israel, they had their first gay pride was held in 1998. That has been held annually since then.
And the biggest in the middle, well, the biggest in that whole region, really. It's got quite a tourist reputation, Tel Aviv, actually.
It does, it does. I think you're kind of safe in saying it's the biggest in the region. I'm not sure that there are many other ones held in the region.
You're probably right.
That's probably an easy yes to that question. Some more interesting facts about Israel is that if you are married in another country and you happen to be of the same sex and you are a citizen of Israel and you go back to Israel, they will recognize that marriage.
Wow. So they'll recognize marriages outside of their own country.
Correct. Specifically, they will recognize same-sex marriages. So if you and I decide to get married and then become Israeli citizens. I don't know where we'd get married, though, because it's not legal in Australia yet.
Well, that's
but
true.
Yes, amazingly, they do recognize same-sex marriages that are performed elsewhere. However, that doesn't mean that they allow same-sex marriages to be performed on Israeli soil. That is not allowed. But it's a little broader. It's not just as cut and dry. Israel actually does not allow any civil unions or any civil marriages on Israeli soil. Doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, bi.
So people can get married, but it's not a civil marriage. That's the distinction you're talking about?
Correct. Because there is a difference. There is the religious organization, which we have here in Australia, that marries you, and the law also accepts that as being legally married if you go and you get married by your rabbi or your priest. Then you can also go down to the local courthouse here in Australia and get married. That is a civil ceremony. That is a legal person presiding over the ceremony, making you legally wed, but there's no religious overtones to that. In Israel, it is only the religious ceremonies that are performed. There are four major religions. They are the ones that oversee the marriages. So if you're a straight couple and one of you is Jewish and one of you is Catholic, you can't get married in Israel. If you're two gay guys, you can't get married in Israel because no religious organization will allow mixed religious weddings or same-sex weddings.
So discrimination is pretty equal over there.
It is. It does seem to be widespread equal discrimination. It is rather forward-thinking of them that they allow you to go outside of the country, get a civil marriage from another country. There's almost not a country that they don't recognize their marriages from, primarily Canada being one of them. So, interesting. Some work to be done there. But
another interesting fun fast fact to come to that. So you can't get... there's no same-sex marriage in Israel, but Israel has had their first same-sex divorce. So just last year, in 2012, the Israeli family court granted divorce of a Israeli professor and his partner. And yes, they are the first gay divorce in Israel.
Correct. There was just not too long ago. So it sort of opens a new possibility there that you can be divorced, but yet you can't be married. But they are recognizing the marriage. They are making some plans to try and attempt to overdo that. In May 2012, that was last year, the Israeli parliament voted against introducing civil marriage for gay and straight couples. They just voted down no civil marriages. There's a lot of religious overtone to that, and we'll speak about that a little bit later this evening. But I think now it's time to go to another song. Do we have another song ready?
Yeah, look, we also love to hear from you on the show here tonight. You can get us on the SMS 0427 join 949. Phone us, Robert's at the front desk tonight, 1300-JOY-949, or email us right in the studio, onair@joy.org.au. Now, we are going to have another song. Interesting story. This one is another gay artist, openly gay artist in Israel called Ivri Lider. And he came to Australia and did a whole lot of performances, including at one of the Mardi Gras events in Sydney. In fact, the equivalent of Carnival Day down here, called Fair Day in Sydney. And as a result, he wrote a song, and this is called Australian Traveller.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
It's Joy 94.9, the World Wide Wave. This week, we are visiting Israel. Just before we left, we had a little bit of a conversation, and we were talking about the marriage rights in Israel and how there was a bit of influence, as you might expect, from the religious organizations there. as part of that, I thought it was very interesting. I found this article earlier this week where a senior rabbi says that while gay people are quote-unquote unfortunate, that he believes that the religious organizations should be less aggressive towards them. Now, without even going into the article, without even going that far, what do you take from that headline, Matt?
I'm not quite sure how to react to that. It's a bit of a bit of a backhander, really. It's although he's saying don't be aggressive, don't be violent, and there is violence. There are certainly examples of, in fact, one just last year where some lesbians were stoned. Some school-aged lesbians were stoned in a homophobic attack. So there is violence within the Israeli community against gay people. Good to hear a religious figure coming out and saying, let's not go down that path, but the reason for it, because we're gay people are unfortunate, is a little bit...
Yes, it's almost as though, by the way, this is Rabbi Dr. Aaron Lichtenstein, a senior religious Zionism rabbi in Israel. It's almost though as he's saying, it's... lighten up, it's okay. He actually, in the article, he discusses the fact that being a homosexual is probably no worse than a sin than not doing what you're supposed to on the Sabbath day, which is going to your religious house. So he sort of says that one sin is just as equal to the other, that it's not the worst sin out there that you can do. But then he sort of wraps it up and, you know, I guess because as a religious person, you're not allowed to say, let's love everyone, he's got to backtrack a little bit and say, it's still unfortunate that after all you are gay.
Well, he did... pander a bit to his base, I guess, by going on to say that he called being gay an abomination and did talk about sodomy and public sin and using all those sorts of words as well. So, yeah, it wasn't entirely a supportive speech, you might say.
No, it wasn't. And it's just sort of interesting that they start to be nice, but then they've got to backtrack a little bit. What we were talking about earlier when we said that one of the major influences to the marriage laws of Israel is the religious aspect of the state. There is no civil union. Everything must be done under a religious overtone. And for that to change in Israel, which is really a hot topic right now with some of the Israeli elections that are going on right now, it's a huge political achievement, or excuse me, it's a huge hurdle to overcome because it is based in the religious. And half of the organizations say that we have to keep the old ways. We are a Jewish state. The only reason that we exist is because we were founded as a Jewish state. So how do you get rid of the integral parts of the Jewish religion? And the other side is saying, yes, but it's 2013 and we need to open up and it's okay for Jews and Catholics to marry. So
there's definitely lots of shades of grey in the religious organisations within Israel. There was about 2006, there were plans to hold a gay pride march in Jerusalem itself. And in fact, Orthodox Jews rioted, overturned cars, set buildings alight. There were quite significant anger and violence to stop that from going ahead. It did actually not go ahead in the end. But I guess that's the extreme, that's the darker shade of that grey. You then get places like Tel Aviv, which have very vibrant gay communities and quite accepting ways within the community that opens things up. So there's quite a degree of variance in how gay people are treated within Israel.
There is a significant variance, but I guess it's no different than any other country. Going to the big city, things are a little more liberal. There was a couple of surveys done in 2010 in Israel, and one of the first surveys was they interviewed the Jewish versus the Muslim who was comfortable living next to a gay neighbor. The numbers were astronomically apart. The Jewish more said that they were comfortable. Almost 75% of the Muslims that were interviewed said that they were uncomfortable living next to a gay neighbor. But then you specifically go just within the Jewish community and you get the more classic versus the liberal. And you mentioned it, that in Tel Aviv, 75% of the people that were asked the question, are you comfortable living next to a homosexual, said yes, that they didn't even think twice about it. However, that number changed considerably when you went to the more conservative Jerusalem. And you said that you saw that with the rioting when they tried to bring the gay pride to Jerusalem. So I can't say that Israel is that different than any other country. There's a lot more liberal minds running around downtown Melbourne than there might be in some cities, but we won't badmouth any of the country cities.
Perhaps one of the things that does set them apart in terms of circumstance is the relationship with Palestine. So there are lots of stories of gay and lesbian Palestinians relocating to Israel because of the much more accepting lifestyle and ways, but they're still in hiding. So they might live a very quiet life with their same-sex partner, their Israeli same-sex partner, in order to keep their presence hidden from Israeli authorities, not because they would be persecuted because of their sexual orientation, but because they might be deported or, you know, charged with staying illegally in the country.
Coming up shortly, we have a conversation with the representative from AGUDA, that's the National Association of GLBT in Israel, and we ask him his thoughts on the upcoming election. But now, keeping things light and airy, I think we've got time for some music.
We're going to hear from Harel Scott, singing the song Melim, and religious leaders actually campaigned against this singer, who was going to sing a song at the National Service Girls Camp. He's openly homosexual camp, one might say, and they were campaigning against this. But he sung along, and I think everybody had a good time. This is Joy 94.9, World Wide Wave.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It is the World Wide Wave. It's a show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. And tonight, we're in the Middle East, in Israel.
Earlier, we had a chance to speak with, you pronounce
Ofer,
his name?
Ofer Danziger, and he's from the National Association of LGBTs in Israel. The story, the thing that caught our eye was just a bit over a week ago, a gay Israeli MP conducted an unofficial same-sex marriage, or actually three of them, out the front of one of the religious buildings in Tel Aviv, and as a protest.
What it was this is the same MP that last year submitted legislation to introduce civil marriages into the Israeli parliament. However, of course, that was overturned, did not pass. Just recently after that, one of the conservative groups said that it was a sign that Israel was moving forward, because if civil marriages were allowed to exist, it would harm each and every Israeli citizen to their core. So this MP decided that he was going to go out and perform some of his own civil services, which of course aren't legal. That was not his intent. It was simply meant as a protest. But we were able to find someone and ask them a few questions on the inside, what they thought about that.
Nitzan Horowitz, who just in the past few weeks has conducted three unofficial same-sex wedding ceremonies as a way of gaining publicity for the issue. How did that come about?
Well, he did it in Tel Aviv, and there was a lot of, it got a lot of media attention. And basically, he did his ceremonies right on the doorstep of the Rabbanut, which is the, you know, the Rabbanut, it's the religious Orthodox organization where people are getting married with, through the religious establishment. And he did it over there as a protest to the fact that right now same-sex marriages are illegal in the country, and we have elections soon, and he's trying to get some publicity for himself, and it's all very good. we really support it, and we hope it will lead to more change in the country.
And what was the response from the religious groups?
Since we're in election time right now, no one wants to make too much noise about it. So basically the response was very, very, well, you didn't really hear much response out of them. They didn't want to create an outrage right now about it. I do believe that in any other time, they would have made much more noise about it. But right now, it seemed that because it's an election time, everybody wants to be okay with everybody else. So they're trying to keep a low profile on that matter, because this is a really matter of... it's spoken a lot in the country right now, this issue of same-sex marriages and same-sex rights. So, and they're obviously against it. So right now they're keeping low profile on the matter.
In the international news, perhaps outside more than inside, it says that for the first time ever, because it is an election period going on right now, that the politicians are actually speaking about LGBT rights. Do you believe that to be true?
Well, I do. Last week we had a convention of the main, like, we organized the Aguda, we're the biggest LGBT organization in Israel. And we organized a panel to which we invited members of all the leading parties in parliament. And for the first time ever, a leading minister showed up to this panel, and a lot of politicians from all sides of the political map showed up to tell us what they think and what they're going to do for the gay community in Israel. So I can definitely see that there's a change happening. A lot of people and all the parties are trying to get the gay voter to vote for them. And you can really, really feel it.
How much confidence do you have that some of these words will turn into actions?
Well, I really, really don't know. Since it's an election time, a lot of people promise many things, and what comes afterwards is always an enigma. You never really know. It depends who's going to sit in the coalition. It depends if they're going to have enough power and not as much resistance to pass pro-GLBT laws. It depends on really a lot of things. So I can't really... I wouldn't like to guess, because there are too many variables right now to change.
How close do you think this election will be?
How you mean right and left?
Yes, yes.
Well, the polls say that the right wing is going to win, and but as always, it's very close, I guess. It's going to be almost 50-50.
And if the right wing...
Isn't it always like that? Almost.
If the right wing did win, what would that mean for this push for gay rights in Israel?
Well, it really depends who they're going to take into the coalition with them. If they're going to take a lot of... they're going to take other parties that support gay rights, then, and want to promote legislation for gay rights, then it's going to be better. If they're going to choose, if the coalition will be formed by the more right-wing religious parties, then there's going to be probably less pro-gay legislation. I really, really, really have... I'm not a political analyst, and it's kind of difficult for me to answer those questions.
Well, thank you for taking the time.
Let me just tell you that both right wing and left wing right now are saying that they're going to do everything in their power to change the situation for the gay community in Israel and promote gay rights and gay legislation. Right now, a lot of people are saying a lot of things. What will actually happen after the election, we'll just have to wait and see.
And how much pull or how much power do the religious bodies have in the political arena in Israel?
Well, there are some parties that are based on religion that are religious parties, but the majority of the parties are definitely secular. So there are some religious parties, but they're not the majority.
And that was...
Great. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us here in Australia.
And that was Ofer Denziger from AGUDA, the National Association of LGB Rights in Israel.
Very interesting. I liked how he is the social media guy to talk, but I like how he's like, I'm not really a political guy, so don't ask me about those questions. I don't want to answer them. But he did end up giving his personal opinion, so I thought that was very helpful and very friendly of him.
And interesting how both left and right are wooing the gay vote. So he also sort of mentioned that with the gay marriage ceremony stunt, that the religious groups were quite reserved in their response. So nobody wants to make waves during the election campaign. Everybody wants to be happy and chase those gay votes.
Well, that's what was sort of interesting, and that's one of the reasons that we decided to swing by Israel and highlight them, was because of this election that's going on, and supposedly, as the media presents it, for the first time ever, the LGBT rights are being discussed by the potential leaders. But at the same time, there are these things going on, like our friendly MP who protests, and nobody even talks about it. And it's interesting that it would, or at least this particular person thought that it would have gotten even more news coverage if it wasn't an election year. So it almost makes you wonder, this politician who's trying to get attention, wouldn't he have known that he shouldn't have done that now? He should have waited, but at any rate...
I think every politician wants a few moments in the sun during an election year.
Yes, and he did mention that he did enjoy his few minutes of fame, but there you go.
And he's certainly got worldwide coverage right here in Australia as well.
And we're covering him now, so it was definitely time well spent.
Now, we do love to hear from you, and you can send us an SMS here in the studio on 0427JOY949. Phone the front switch 1300JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Now, the other thing is we also we put podcasts of our show, so you can go back through our catalogue from countries all over the world and access it through the joy.org.au website, or you can follow us on Facebook. If you search World Wide Wave or W3Joy, we'll come up, follow us. We post all sorts of news and interesting things from around the world, as well as audio logs from the shows that we do.
We do. It's
all,
that's correct.
All a part of the service, really.
It is. So don't forget to like us. You'll have noticed that we do have a few more likes on our Facebook page. And Squirrel will be very happy because we miss Squirrel this week, but she is always working very hard on the podcasting and the...
from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
It's Joy 94.9, the Worldwide Wave. You are here with tonight, Matt and Tom. Big shout out to Squirrel, who's not with us tonight.
We miss you, Squirrel. Come back.
We do miss you. That you might remember that one. That one was a bit of a international hit. That was Diva by Dana International. Dana International being the first transsexual person to win Eurovision.
Ah. All right, so international hit is a relative term, then.
You're so cruel.
Look,
she did really well, and she also used her profile to really start to educate people about transsexualism and what she was going through. And she said, "My victory proves God is on my side."
Excellent. So that was an international victory. But I have to contest that it was an international hit. I have time for my international hit now. Disco, D-I-S-C-O, The Young Professionals.
It's the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9, and we have had a message through from Squirrel, who is listening and missing us as much as we're missing her. Thanks, Squirrel. We'll see you very, very soon.
We do miss you, Squirrel. That was The Young Professionals. They were, I don't believe they are anymore, an Israeli electro-pop band. I don't know, just really one of my favorite songs.
Are they
beat.
Are they not young anymore? Are they not professional?
That might be the case. Yeah, they just might be the older professionals now. But at any rate, we have been in Israel this week, where we've been discussing the possibility of some changes to their marriage law. Anything is possible with the new elections coming up, although probably not likely this round.
Nothing really. Yeah, lots of talk. Like to see a bit more action.
There's always hope. He said it depends on what the mix is going to be, but fingers crossed.
And also how much of a fight the conservative groups put up, as they are known to do in Israel. Now, coming up next on Joy, you've got Kiss My Arts, a great little arts program, so stick around for that. And since we've been talking Israel, also I mentioned to Melbourne's Israeli gay group for gay and bisexual Jewish men. It's called Aleph Melbourne, and you can check out details on the website. It's a great social group for same-sex attracted men in Melbourne who want to network and share experiences. It's Aleph, aleph.org.au. It's the World Wide Wave, and we've come to the end of another show.
No, say it isn't true.
It is true, I'm afraid. We would like to thank very much Ofer Danziger from the National Association of LGBT Rights in Israel for taking the time to speak with us tonight about their current situation and the upcoming election and what that may or may not bring. And we've also got quite a lineup coming up for you in coming weeks. We've been on the phone and email all around the world. We'll be off to Colombia. We've got a show on Peru coming. We're speaking with some great characters in the Netherlands. India is on the cards, and we'll also be having a show on Uganda, which is a real hotspot to do with, I guess, the most basic of rights, the right to live as a person, let alone a gay person, in a country in Africa that is trying to bring in laws to bring back the death penalty for people who identify as being gay. So a tough subject, and we are putting together some shows, and we'll have Squirrel back for those very soon.
The gang will be back. In the meantime, thank you for riding the World Wide Wave. We'll meet here again.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.